My name is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. This interview is with Jonathan LaRose, a First Nations actor in the upcoming play Otohe, an Indigenous interpretation of the Shakespeare play Othello. LaRose plays Hamish, which is the stand-in character for Iago. In this interview, we talk about the motivations behind the character, as well as the actor who portrays them, as well as the importance of Indigenous authenticity when it comes to Indigenous productions. All right, so would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Let me just mute my phone. So, Hanim Bojo, Jonathan LaRose, Indigenous cause, Nipissing First Nation, Donjibba. Hi, I'm Jonathan LaRose. I'm from Nipissing First Nation. That's where my Anishinaabe family is from. And I live in Toronto.
And you are also an actor in the upcoming Indigenous reimagining of Othello. How did you find out about, I'm actually not entirely too sure how to pronounce.
So it's, so we're pronouncing it Otoheyu. I think more of a traditional Plains Cree pronunciation would be Otoheyu, but we're kind of rounding the O a little bit. So Otoheyu.
Okay. So how did you find out about Otoheyu?
That's a great question. I think I saw, there was some sort of breakdown that I either saw or my agent saw and submitted me for, and I ended up recognizing the director, Lisa Nason, because I had her name on the project, actually, because I had, my agent submitted me for it through, the various casting submissions. But I think Lisa and I had met at Stratford during a workshop. There are very few like Indigenous artists. So when we meet each other, we kind of like, it's like, you know, we remember each other. So I remember, you know, reading this breakdown and being like excited because I had talked to Lisa about potentially working with her. So I was really excited to meet her and work with her in a professional setting. And then I started reading the breakdown, and Othello is, I mean, Iago is literally one of my favorite Shakespeare characters. I've been dreaming of playing Iago since I learned of Iago. I always have the Iago, how am I then a villain monologue, kind of like in the vault, as they say. So when I realized this was an Othello adaptation in the character Hamish was an interpretation of Iago, I was just like pumped to, you know, get a chance to do that.
Because Iago in the original Shakespeare play is, you'd say, the antagonist of,
yeah, of, putting it lightly.
of Othello. He's the mastermind of Othello's tragic downfall. So what exactly drew you to Iago?
That's a great question. So Iago is a particularly sinister villain, I would say. Jealousy. He believes the Moor slept with his wife as well. He like these traits are very interesting in because we all have bits of them. Like I remember learning of the Carl Jung concept of the shadow self, where we are all, when we are born, we are kind of like whole people, like circles. Like we have the capacity for great good and great evil. We, you know, as we get socialized in society, we start to kind of like mold ourselves to fit the persona, how we present ourselves in the world. But those things don't go away. They're just kind of like shoved in the corner, those personality traits. So somebody like Iago, who has not, like, those personality traits have been maybe pushed so far away that they end up completely and utterly taking control. So for me, the interest was these characters who let those dark sides of themselves run their lives. It's so interesting to me because, you know, they're capable of such dark and evil things, but I think we're all have that side in us. So like just exploring that, being able to like really dive into that's been interesting, allowing, just saying, okay, if on a daily basis I, you know, my jealousy, I let it get to a two. What would you be like as a person if you let it get to the 10? You know, that's to me the interest of these types of characters, or this type of character.
With you playing Hamish, this play's interpretation of Iago, how have you brought your understanding of the classical Shakespearean character to your performance of the Iago type?
It's a good question. Without giving away too much, Hamish is an indigenous man who has been colonized. How we are portraying him, how I'm portraying him, is he's allowed that colonization to take over him. Instead of him fighting back and hanging on to his traditional self, he realizes, or he believes, that becoming as, you know, treacherous as the colonizers who have taken over and changed the way things are is the only way that he can succeed and get himself to the level that he wants to get. So I think how we're portraying it is we're allowing, for me, it's been a shift because Iago, obviously, this play has taken in a beautiful way its own little shape. I think that Iago and Hamish are different. So how we're interpreting it through Hamish is his disdain but need for the colonized life. It's like a jealous love-hate relationship with not only his sister, who is, you know, would be the matriarch of their tribe, but also the way of life of the people, because he's seen it being decimated by the colonizers. Not to minimize, you know, generational trauma and real events, but I think of another character in, like, you know, popular fiction would be something like Magneto. You know, you see the evil, and instead of letting it consume you, use it to your power and advantage. So that's kind of how we're shaping it in a little different way.
It's interesting that with this production, that it seems to be, from what you're telling me so far, is that it's not a one for one recreation of Othello. There is Akira Kurosawa's interpretation of Macbeth. Instead, this is your own interpretation with its own plot beats, but following similar themes.
I think, well, it's credit to PJ, of course. I think that to do a one for one, I think, adaptation from Shakespeare to, you know, changing it to, you know, indigenous names and keeping it everything the same, I think would do a discredit to the conversation I think that we're having, which is, you know, westernized concepts of storytelling and indigenous ideas of storytelling. So I think what PJ does, and I think that what this play is attempting to do, is create parallel themes with Othello. You'll be able to recognize the themes from that, but then have it be presented in an authentically indigenous way, whatever that means to this day and age for indigenous people. You know, not necessarily meaning this is a traditional ceremony, because I don't think that that's accurate to what modern indigenous people are and feel. It's a very delicate dance, honestly. That's been the most fun and challenging part, is recognizing, okay, when is my theater background coming in and getting in the way of ceremony, and when do we have to say, okay, but this has to be in line with the original text, or else it doesn't, people aren't going to recognize the Othello in it. So yeah, it is definitely more of an adaptation and interpretation than a one for one.
What do you, when you say like authentically indigenous, what do you mean by that?
That's a very, very tough question. I think, based off of the challenges of what we would call indigeneity in 2023, I can only speak from my perspective, which is a very white-looking indigenous man who has strong connections with, you know, my band and my reserve and my grandmother and all the things that have kind of come from that, including the, you know, indirect, you know, trickling of traumas. But then also recognizing that how my authentic indigenous expression would be this kind of walking of two paths of, you know, trying to relearn the culture, reclaim tradition, speak the language, forgiving the fact that it may not be as easy as it could be because it was taken from, you know, our ancestors. And then at the same time, recognizing, you know, we live in 2023 where I am talking to you on Zoom, you know, like, so I think that that to me is a very important concept, because we're all the cast or the indigenous cast are from different, you know, different tribes, different walks of life, different understandings of their cultural experience, different levels of understanding the language and tradition, and not one of them is more indigenous than the other. And we're recognizing that is the indigenous experience, is kind of us coming to the table with what we have, and recognizing that there is community within us, and recognizing the similarity.
In regards to your indigenous experience, from what you told me about Hamish, there seems to be a bit of a connection between the two of you in terms of your indigenous experiences. So how are you channeling your indigenous authenticity into your character Hamish?
As Jonathan, I kind of walk in two worlds. I'm very, very visibly white, blue eyes. So when I pull out the status card, it's always a, you know, comment, you know, more from, you know, white people than indigenous people. Indigenous people usually just kind of like accept me for, they're like, oh, really? That's cool. And then that's it. And then we start talking to them, and then I start busting out the res accent. But I find that for me, I tend to walk in this double world where I live in my, like, I've really internalized my indigenous identity. I just feel so connected with it, but I recognize that I look completely external to that. I look, people do not and will not accept that I'm indigenous, you know, at some points, or at least that's what I perceive that people think. And with Hamish, it's a similar dual opinion, where he wants to live in the colonized world and run the fort and have the power, have the trading prestige, have the army, but he's an indigenous man. He will always be an indigenous man. He will not, or mixed, he will not ever be able to be seen the way he wants to be seen. So I think that I understand that very intrinsically. Obviously, I've processed it better. I think in those ways, it's very interesting to and easy to connect the dots between the two.
And rounding back to it, why is it important to have this play be authentically indigenous?
I think that, I'm going to get all political. I think that there's a huge push for indigenous content right now. And I think that there is, all of us in the room as indigenous artists, first and foremost, it's incredible to be in a room with as many indigenous artists as I am getting the privilege to. We all have a vested interest into telling this story in a way that lets people know we're still here. We are still storytelling. We're still trying to keep the language. The importance for the work to be generated from Indigenous people, for Indigenous people, just to keep the spirit alive and to allow people, like, you know, for instance, I think about people who aren't necessarily the most connected to their heritage. Like, for instance, my grandmother left the reserve when she was very young. She was out of necessity. She had to code shift, is what we would say, into an entirely different life in order to survive. I have the privilege of going back and learning my language and saying, oh, you know, yeah. And I tell her all the teachings I'm doing, and I'm, you know, bringing back her memories of language. But I think it's important for this authentic indigenous experience that we do this so that the people can reclaim their culture and bring it forward in a world that's now finally recognizing, oh, wow, we, you know, stopped these people from having their culture. And I think that this is a very way that does it, that this does it from Indigenous people, for people who may feel a little bit disconnected from culture and tradition and ceremony because it's been taken from them. That's a thing that I think about all the time is, well, my cousins who live on the reserve see this play and think, that's me out there. That's the Indigenous experience I understand, which is for them and me in particular, the yearning for the cultural practices and knowledge, then seeing things that you can relate with, you know? I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Transitioning over to a lighter, how has it been like working with the material from PJ and your director?
It's been very, very fun. First and foremost, Lisa Nason, incredible director. She's an actor's director because she's also an actor. So I never feel afraid to try something. Like, getting to play the bad guy is fun, but getting to play the bad guy and get really nasty and dark and villainous is a whole new world of entertainment. And having a director allow you to create that and bring your own in and having a strong vision that allows for other actors to input is an incredible experience. The material is fantastic to work with, in a sense of, I mean, I recognize the Iago speech that I love so much in PJ's work immediately. For me, the fun was, how do I, you know, step away from the pentameter and then what I know Iago's talking about, basically be saying the same thing, but about different people in different circumstances and the way she uses the nuance to, she uses similar tactics that Iago uses, but slightly different tactics. So it's just been really fun. It's like a puzzle. And then on top of that, learning about the teachings that PJ has kind of put into there, like, which I won't spoil, has also been lovely. And I love the Cree language. I've had the fortune of working on a Cree adaptation of Macbeth as well, called Powagan Macbeth, as a workshop with Stratford. And I learned a lot of Cree, Plains Cree, in that as well. So being an Anishinaabe man, I mean, this is coming back to the authentic Indigenous experience. I'm an Anishinaabe man who knows how to pronounce and speak more Cree words than Anishinaabe words. So, like, that's been the most fun.
Working alongside some of these actors, is there like any scene that you could possibly tell me about that, without telling me any spoilers, that is something that you are really looking forward to showing to a crowd, an audience?
Yeah. Me and this incredible actor and my new good friend, Raymond, or RJ, Raymond Jordan Johnson Brown, the only RJJB on Instagram. He is a dancer. He comes from a dance background. I am a fighter. I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I compete. I'm a scrappy little dude. And we have an altercation where we have to fight. So being able to, two people from vastly different disciplines coming together and creating a different form of art, you know, fighting, I would say, is art, dance is art. And we're bringing both of our skills to make this scene look as realistic as possible has been super fun. And you just get to know people very quickly when you're have mixed skill expressions.
Yeah, those are two, I guess they are very different, but very closely related
100%.
Skill sets, dancing and fighting. How do you implement both of those skill sets, especially with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is a very on the ground, very grappling heavy, which is a little difficult for people who aren't knowledgeable in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to watch and understand exactly what's happening. So how do you translate those skills into a way that a audience can understand?
So that's cool. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, yes, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the highest level is very boring for the average person to watch because they're not seeing the intricacies of it, because you just essentially see two people just kind of mushed together. But the beauty of merging dance, which is a performative art, first and foremost, both art forms have a great proprioceptive awareness of the body. So dancers and wrestlers and gymnasts, I would say, have probably some of the best understanding of how the body moves in space and in unison with another body isn't the correct word. So that was lovely because now we both understand, okay, how do we move in the space? We both have a base knowledge of that. But then for me, it's taking, it was, and obviously with the beautiful, you know, there's sorry, the beautiful choreography from the fight director, Anita, we're able to showcase the aggression and dominance of something like grappling by using very, very recognizable positions in a safe way, which is very hard to do when you actually train because you're letting go of all of your defense, you know, your practical defenses, instincts. And then adding with that the fluidness and the positional, what's it called? Placement of limbs to create the shape that looks like struggle or something that you would get from dance, and you're kind of merging them together. So it's been very interesting doing that. And I think both really help each other a lot because, yeah, like I said, you're getting like the dancing understanding of like where to place an arm so that the shape looks beautiful from a distance. And then coupling that with the, okay, this is a systematic place to put one body in front of another so that you can clearly tell that body is the winning body. It's been a great little marriage of that. And they actually go quite hand in hand.
So on a quick, smaller note, just to give a bit of a better idea of your skill set with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, what belt do you have?
So I'm a purple belt. I just got my purple belt, I think, two-ish months ago. I won silver in my first purple belt no-gi competition, which was on June 11th. I train under Dave Thompson at Thompson Jiu-Jitsu, and I've been doing it for about 7 years now. I've competed a number of times. This was my first win, so I was very excited, or like first podium finish, so that was nice.
Well, congratulations on getting your purple belt. That's a massive accomplishment with your 7 years and purple belts and everything you just described to me regarding this dance of grappling on stage. What's been, I guess, what was the hardest part of for you personally adapting that type of that to the stage?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was telling the fight director this. So when you're choreographing these moves, instinctively, obviously, when you've trained for a long period of time and you've drilled things and your body is kind of like trained to respond naturally, it's very hard to say to turn those instincts off. So the hardest thing was when in a situation where RJ has to, you know, I guess get a dominant position towards me. Training myself to not defend and put like, you know, the elbows and knees as the frames in place, not to grab a grip, you know, not to push back, is a very, very hard instinct to break. There's natural, like, save yourself instincts. So that was the biggest challenge is, it doesn't look as effective if I'm completely and utterly defending the move. So that was the hardest thing to train my body to say, don't do this, please, for the sake of the show.
When it comes to the show itself, how long have you been preparing for this show and the premiere in the next few weeks?
So we are just wrapping up our, I think, third week of rehearsal, which would be, I think, on Saturday. And it's been lightning fast. We've been doing 3 weeks, 5.5 days. So we're going Monday to Saturday. I would say that's not even an accurate representation. I think all of us are going home and intently working on the scripts on our off hours. So it's been just 3 solid weeks of just, you know, hunkering down. It's because we really want to put on a great show. And before that, I think we got the script, I think maybe 1 or 2 weeks before. So it's been pretty much, yeah, this, that, that some I don't think the script came too much before the rehearsal period, so 3 solid weeks of just go. Today we did a nice run through, so it looks like it's all coming together nicely, which is a great feeling, like to see the hard work come to fruition.
I have really one final question. Do you feel ready?
Oh, yes. After today, I feel so excited. For me, I am a very, I obviously, because I love jiu-jitsu, I love repetition. I love drilling things. I love doing things over and over again until you find those interesting nuance. And being an extra week of running the show and finding new things, I think being show ready early on and then getting to just run it over and over again gets us to when we're doing opening night, we've already explored so much so that the audience is coming into like a fully thought out and continually growing piece. So for me, I feel like we are like the best pace to get out there. And I will say, as I'm getting older, the really paying attention to the fun that you can have with theater has been so important to me. And with that is exploration. So I feel like I'm exploring every single time that we're doing it, and it just makes me feel like this piece is going to be wonderful by the time we open. So very excited for that.
All right. So just before we finish up, do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Think I'm good. I think main thing that I do kind of, this is just a general concern, but I think that the topic of indigeneity and authentically indigenous is a very touchy subject. So I'm always wary that I always, want to make sure that I'm approaching that with the grace and understanding that my opinion isn't like the be all end all. I really think that I enjoy the discourse of it. So for me, I just think that I just hope that I've come across in a way that's like, in an understanding way. That's my only, that's like maybe just a personal thing, but yeah.